This week's parasha is Parsha's Truma. So it says, Daber el bnei Yisrael, speak to Jewish people, v'kuli Truma me'et kol ish asher yedvenu libo. For each person, the Jewish people, who has the desire of his heart, the will of his heart to give, tiku, you should take a Truma, my Truma. So what's Truma? Truma is a lashon of Romem, Romamut, to lift a person, to lift up. I.e., what we're giving to the Mishkan is going to cause us a Romamut. It's going to cause us to be lifted up. We're taking physical objects and they're going to be elevated to a higher state, to be a serving of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not only are the things going to be lifted up, but the person who gives them is going to be lifted up. Says Rashi that there are three types of truma. This truma of that our pasuk is speaking of is trumas hamishkan that everyone gives, and there's trumas of the adonim, and they give however much they want. There's truma of the adonim. Of the adonim are the silver basis, right, that on which the mishkan is held. Another truma, which is truma of the korbanot tzibur, that's machzit ha-shekel, right? Also, the adonim is also machzit ha-shekel. So there's three trumas. There's the trumas of the mishkan, the adonim, and the korbanos. Okay, but there's a condition in which these trumas should be given. It says v'yikhu li. Rashi says v'yikhu, they should be taken for me. It says li lishmi l'shem hakadosh baruch hu. That means it has to be done in Lishma. Now I want to explain to you what this concept of Lishma is. So what is this concept of Lishma? To do something for the sake of Kodesh Baruch Hu. First of all, it says, Kol ish ashe yidvenu libo. Yidvenu libo means to give with a full rotzen. Like you're saying, Mesiris Nefesh, to give with a complete giving. That means when a person's doing something Lishma, he's really doing it with all his car, he's doing with all his strength, with all a complete giving of self. So that explains now a Rambam in the Tshuvas. The Rambam says that whenever the Torah is particular on the concept of Lishma, the Torah means to do something well. Because if you do something with all your car, with all your rotsa, with all your will, you're going to do it well. So the Torah wants you to do this thing with all your rots and with all your kohos. That's what it means, lishma. And therefore, it means the Torah wants you to do it well. So it says, lishma by Pesach. It says you do mitzvahs matzah lishma. Right? It means you do it so well that there's no chometz there. You're megarish and isha lishma. It's done so well. What does it mean done so well? There's a complete rotsam will of the husband to megarish her, to send her away. That's lishma baget. Lishma of korbanos. You're doing a lishma of a korban. You're doing it so well, such a rotzen. You're bringing the korban for the shame, for the purpose of what that korban is specific for. Or lishma in the bailim of the korban. You're giving it to the owners. You're giving it in the name of the owners. So the Torah was makpid that those things would be done well. They'd be done for the yi'ud, for their purpose, for what they are made for. Right? Pasuk chet, the Bein Bachi says, and it's Rabbi, he says, Vasuli Mikdash, and you shall make for me a Mikdash. That's the base of Mikdash, right? It's also Mikdash Mikra Mishkan, or Mishkan Mikra Mikdash. It's interchangeable. That's what the Gemara says. Veshachanti Betocham, and I will dwell in it. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, the first base of Mikdash was for 410 years. If you look at the word Shachanti, it's Shachan, which is to dwell. T in is Taf Yud is 410. He says that's a remnant to the first base of Mikdash. The first base of Mikdash was 410 years. The second base of Mikdash was 420 years. So you take out the Taf and the Kaf from Shachanti, you get Shnei Taf Kaf. The second base of Mikdash was for Taf Kaf years. That's a remnant in the Parsha for how long we had the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. The Loshon of Shachen is Loshon Shechina. Shechina means the divine to dwell with us. A Shachen is someone who dwells with you. He's a shutuf with you. You have a Shachen, you have a neighbor, right? He's with you. Kodesh Baruch Hu is dwelling with us in the Mishkan, kiviyachol, as if. And then the first kli that's being made is the Aaron. Vasu Aaron atzei shitim, from atzei shitim, amatayim v'chetzi orko, 1.5 amas in length, v'ama v'chetzi rochvo, and width 1.5, v'ama v'chetzi komato, and 1.5 in height. An ama is 6 tfachim. So ama v'chetzi is 9 tfachim. So it's 9 tfachim high. V'zipita oto zav taho mibayit mechutz. You had like as a box in and outside of it. V'asita alav zeh zahav. So it has going around it, above the box, like an addition. Okay? And then, I'm going to skip. You then, on top of that, you have what's called a kaporet. V'netata el ha'aron et ha'edut. That's the luchot you put. Yeah? Vasita kaporet zahav taho amatayim v'chetzi orko v'amal chetzi rochvo. So it only tells you the measurement of the kaporet in terms of the width and length, which is the same as the aron. But the height of the kaporet, in fact, is a tefach. And then it says, Vasita shnei kruvim zahav mikshe. It has to be the same, made out of the kaporet. Tase otam mishnei k'tzot ha-kaporet, from two sides of the kaporet. So the kaporet is a tefach. So the aron itself is in whole is 10 tefachim. The Gemara in Sukkah learns from this, since the HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, he dwells with Klal Yisrael, bein hakruvim, between the kruvim, which is on the kaporet, right? Yeah, which is on the kaporet. The Gemara learns that the reshus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is till 10 tefachim. He comes down to 10 tefachim. The reshus of man is 10 tefachim high. Yes? That's called the day, and from that we learn the size of a mechitza, or the size, the height of reshus harabim. I.e. a mechitza is that which is chotzet, which divides reshus harabim. I.e. the reshus harabim is below where Kodesh Baruch Hu kiviyachol comes and dwells with us. That's the place of the kaporet. That's 10 tefachim from the height. Man's dwelling, which is the reshus harabim, is 10 tefachim below. That's the side. We actually learned the din of reshus harabim, and we made a din of mechitzas from this halach of the kaporet. Okay? The kaporet is the place, the only once in a year where you have, right? The kaporet is a place where you have zikat dam or near it. There's only once a year there's avodah done in the kaporet. When's that? That's Yom Kippur. And it's also called kaporet. Kaporet, kippur, kaporet is a lashon of nikayon, of cleaning. That's why Yom Kippur. So somehow this kaporet must be a place of cleaning, of cleansing. A cleansing of avonos. How does that work? Our sins. But why is this place of the kaporet a makom of kapara? I.e. the meeting of the higher and lower worlds, that place of meeting, this point of this midpoint where Kodesh Baruch Hu Kilu connects with the lower world, that point of connection has to be a point of kaporet, has to be a point of cleansing, i.e. the only place kiviyachol that Kodesh Baruch Hu, who ba'atzamo, can connect to the physical world, has to be a place which is clean of avon, which is cleansed of any sin, of any of the physicalities of this world, i.e. has to be a place of complete cleansing. That's why the avoda of Yom Kippur is on the kaporet. It's on that, or mul hakaporet, against the kaporet. Has to be on that place which is the sea, the height of cleansing, because it's the place of the connection of Elyonim, the higher world, to the lower worlds. Is the Aaron called the Aaron? So that if you look at the word Aaron, it's really Or Nun. Or is always associated with the Torah. Oraisa is the Torah. That's Aramaic for Or, for light. So that Nun represents Nun Shari Bina. Nun Shari Bina means the Makor for Kabbalah Satera. Like we have 50 days to Matan Torah. The Kabbalah Satera comes from Shar Nun, the 50th level of Bina. Which is, so the Or Nun is the Aaron. It's the same letters. That's what the Aaron represents. The Or of Nun Shari Bina. Aaron has, yeah, atzei shitim, right? It has two poles, yeah? Bade atzei shitim, the sipito tamzah, the carries the Aaron, right? Those are represented in the people who support Torah. The arm will be covered with the atzei shitim, these two poles. And then it says, a special din, velo yasuru mimenu, you can't remove them from the aron. Now there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that, in fact, the aron was carried by a nes. It didn't need anyone to carry it. The Gemara says that the aron nose et nosav. The aron carries the people who are carrying it. So what's this coming to tell us? It means even though we have poles that are supporting the Torah, even though we have people who are machzik the Torah, people who are supporting financially the Torah, he im ein kemach, ein Torah, right? If there's no support for Torah, then how are you going to learn? Person's going to starve. Even so, the people have to realize, the people who are supporting the Torah have to realize that the Aaron knows said no self. That means what they have is b'schud the Aaron. The Aaron is the koach that they have that bring them up. Now, inside the Aaron, there's the Eidut. There's two Eidut. There's the Luchot HaRishonot, the first tablets, which were broken, and Luchot HaShniot, which weren't broken, the Aaron. And that represents, the Gemara says, the Luchot that were broken represents the Talmid Chacham that forgot his Torah. Right? But it also, that means, what does it mean, forgot his Torah? It means he has, the Torah had its effect on him, but he forgot Lemaisa, the Torah that he learned, but the effect of the Torah was still there. So let me explain. There's two parts of a person, in a person's mind. There's the mind of the person that's the active mind, that the mind that he knows, the knowledge that he knows, that's the Luchot Shniot. There's the mind which is the inactive mind, his subconscious, that's the broken Luchot. That means this part of a person, his subconscious, all which incurred to a person, which was broken from him, which is separate from him, which is forgotten from him, but it's still part of him. It still lives with it. It still has its effect on him. And then there's the conscious mind, which is represented with the Luchot Shniot, which is his knowledge that he's living with now. Now the Shulchan comes after the Aaron. Now what does Shulchan mean? Vasita Shulchan Atzei Shitim, Amatayim Orko V'Amar Rochbo V'Amar Chetzi Komato. Shulchan, says Rabbeinu Bachya, the Shulchan comes from the Roshon of Lishloach, to send. Lishloach means that there's a shefa, there's an influence. Our panos is sent to us from above, to, from what place? From Nun, Shulchan. It's nishlach, it's sent from Nun. Nun, we just said above. Nun is the Torah. That's why the Shulchan comes after the Torah. Like we say in Pirkei Avos, im ein Torah, ein kemach. If you're not learning Torah, says the Rabbanu, why you need kemach? Why you need a livelihood? The shefa that comes to the world, the shefa that's nishlach, that's sent into this world, is because of Nun. It's because of the Nun Sharabina, because of the Torah. That's why a Shulchan is called Shulchan. And that's why, in terms of the Kalim, it comes after the Torah. To tell you, right, that the shefa of a person's Parnasa comes from his Chibur to his Torah, his connection to Torah. On the table were 12 breads called Lechem Aponim. Why are they called Lechem Aponim? Because they face each other. They were built in a tzura that the breads actually face each other, face to face. That's the form of the breads. And these breads, there was a special nace that happened. They were left from week to week, and after a week of them being left on the Shulchan, they were eaten by the Kahanim on Shabbos, and they were hot. That was the nace of the breads. So, and this, the breads represented, right, the parnasa that used to come to Klal Yisrael through the Shulchan. Because the Shulchan represents this parnasa, the parnasa comes to Klal Yisrael. Now, why was the lechem a lechem haponim? Why was it facing each other? There's two things which you see were facing each other. When the kruvim faced each other, so you knew, right, that there was shalom between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, just as a man and a woman. The Kruvim represent a male and a female. The connection of the Kruvim meant the connection of the Kodesh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people. The Lechem HaPanim also represent such a connection, i.e., the biggest ma'akev, the biggest thing which prevents parnasa, is machloket, not peace. A household that doesn't have peace in that house will have problems with parnasa. After the shulchan, we have the menorah. So menorah is zahav tahor, mixture, has to be made in one, from one block, right, of gold, kika la'aden. That's a measure of the amount that's used for the menorah. Menorah has six branches and a middle branch. It's brought down Rabbeinu Bechai. The middle branch represents Shahanun, Bina. And the six branches represent the six spheres, from Chesed to Yesod. The Malchus is represented in the Shulchan. Shulchan represents Malchus. The menorah represents the six, or the six lower spheres, which go to Malchus, and it's connected in the Ner HaMaravi, which is the middle one, which is represents Shah Bina, Shah Nun. So you see, everything is connected to Shah Nun, which is the Bina, which is the middle one. On the menorah, right, we have Gvieha, Kaftoreo, Frachea. So we have three things. We have a Kaftor, which is round, Gvia, which is open a little bit on the top, and the perach, which is open completely. The flower, which is open completely. The gvia is like a little cup. The kaftor represents something which is closed. Reinbach explains that a machol, or something which is closed in, is a circle. That means it's not yet expressed. The kaftor represents, so to speak, what's called keter, the crown, the higher realm. The gvia is the concept of chokhmah, the expression in the world, right? And then the perach, which is complete expression, is when that is fully expressed in the world. That's going to be das. Or you could say that that's chokhmah and bina, which you, whatever you want to say, that the gvia represents chokhmah and bina, and then the perach represents das, which is mitpashet, which is expressed in the world. You see these three levels, right? The question is, why was all the kelim in the Mishkan gold, apart from the Mizbeach? So the reason is, because generally speaking, the concept of gold is a concept of Malchus. Like we see, in the beginning of the Parsha, I didn't explain it, in the beginning of the Parsha, there were three basic metals that were used. Zahav, Vekesev, and Nechoshet, right? Zahav represents Malchus. Kesev represents Chesed, right, either right side, and Nechoshes represents Tiferet. Nechoshes is Nachasha. Nechoshes was the thing that goes Refuah, like when we say Nashmona Esrei, Shmona Esrei. Tiferes is the concept of Refuah, to make something complete. It was incomplete. That's the concept of Tiferes. That's the concept of Nechoshes. Kesev is Chesed because Kesev comes from Nichsaf Nichsafti. Nichsaf Nichsafti is desire, a rotzen leelyonim, a rotzen for to a desire to connect, right? That comes from the desire of Chesed. Chesed is when you want to connect, when you give of yourself to connect with something. That's the concept of Chesed. That's the concept of Nichsof Nichsafti. You have a desire to connect with your Creator. That comes from giving of yourself. Zahav, right? Zahav comes from Zayin Hav. Zayin is when the seven spheres are given over and expressed in the lower sphere, which is Malchus. That's the concept of Zahav. Zahav, Zayin Hav, is given over to the Malchus, and it's completely expressed there. So I explain, why Nechoshes is different. Nechoshes is also the same letters as Nachash. Nachash, right? Nachash HaNechoshes was the rod that Moshe Rabbeinu went, and he saved the Jewish people from their illnesses, from their magefa, right? That Nachash HaNechoshes that represents, and the concept was that through the Nachash HaNechoshes, there's a double role. You can see the Nachash, you can see the lower worlds, or the Nechoshet, right? Nachash, Nechashti. The Nechoshet will bring you to see the higher worlds. And if you can go from the lower worlds to the higher worlds, that Chibur, that Vav HaChibur, that connection of the Vav, the lower to the higher worlds, that's the concept of Tiferet. Emes is the Midah of Aleph, the higher worlds, Mem, the middle, Taf, the end, Malchus. Emes is when the higher world has complete expression in the lower worlds. That's Vav HaChibur, the Vav that connects the higher to the lower worlds. That's the concept of Tiferes. That's the concept of Nachash and Nachoshes. The Nachash in us is connected to the higher worlds. These Kalim explaining the Tzura, the form of man, the form that man should be. If we're away from this form, then our lives are going to be problematic. The form of our life is incorrect. In order for us to be a place where Kodesh Baruch Hu can dwell with us, we have to live with these forms. These have to be the forms of the Aaron, with the Shulchan, yeah? And with the menorah. We have to be represented by these forms in our daily lives. In Pasuk Mem, Kaf Hei Mem, it says, so, Re'eh v'aseh b'tavnitam, you shall make it in its form, asher ata mar'eh b'ha, like I will show you on the mountain. So it says, Magid, says Rashi, Shinit Kasher Moshe, but Ma'aseh Menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficulty in understanding the menorah. Adsher, how to build it. Adsher Elo, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, menorah shel Esh. He showed him a menorah of Esh, and then he understood how he was to build the form of menorah. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty in building this menorah? What was his kasher? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a koshi. What was the koshi of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, his Torah was a Torah of the Aaron. A Torah of just complete devotion to Torah and a complete disconnect from the physical world. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what was represented by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Aaron is a different form of Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu didn't recognize. He didn't understand. The menorah represents, the menorah is mul hashulchan. It represents Torah im derech eretz. The shulchan represents parnasa, involvement in the world. The menorah represents Torah that's mul hashulchan, that's against the shulchan. It's Torah with parnasa, Torah with derech eretz. That concept of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. He didn't understand how Torah could be blended with derech eretz. How, like the Gemara in Bracha says, if you're going to be osik at parnasa, you're going to be osik in the physical world, Torah matiyale, how are you going to be learning Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand how the two things could combine. That's why he had to be shown it, the tavnit of the menorah, the concept, that concept, how that concept of Torah can be mishtalev with derech eretz, how Torah can be combined with derech eretz.